Thank you for all of you for coming. I want you to feel like you're in Joey Chapman's living room, just up close and cozy together. It's a blessing to have her here. I don't know how many 94-year-old women will say yes to come and talk about God's word. So thank you for coming. Let me tell you why we're here. So early in 2021, I was having lunch with Mary Newton, and she said, "Patty, Joey and I were talking, and we would really like to teach the women the full armor of God." She said, "We've followed this for so long, and we think the women need to hear it again." And I said, "Well," she goes, "if you ever hear of anyone who needs that, let me know." Well, as you know, Mary went to be with the Lord in October, and Joey's still here, very vibrantly here. We're very happy she's here. Some of you have just studied the full armor of God, maybe in your small group, maybe in a Bible study in your home, but there's four groups at Zionsville Fellowship right now that are doing this book right here. It's called Growing Together, and it's a book about mentoring, and it's with older and younger women. And I'm going to read this quote because it reminds me of what I'm seeing in this room. "There was a young thin tree that was bent over, suffering from the damaging effects of a storm that had recently blown through. My father took a rope and tethered the young tree to a much older tree, one that was sturdy and strong, standing straight. When I asked him why he was tying the two trees together, he explained that the older tree could offer support and strength to prevent the younger tree from growing askew. The older tree had withstood years of winds and storms. Just by standing beside the younger tree, it offered stability. This image comes to mind whenever I think about discipleship. Essentially, the mentoring relationship is one in which a younger woman is tethered to a more mature believer for a season so she might grow firm in her faith and be equipped for ministry. Just as the older tree doesn't make the younger tree grow, the water and sun do that, the mentor isn't responsible for the spiritual growth of the mentee. God does that. She's simply standing beside the younger woman, offering the strength she's gained as God has grown her through the years." That older oak tree is sitting right next to me. She's withstood lots of things over the years. And, you know, there's always someone younger than us. She's 94. I'm 74. She's 20 years older than me. And yet I look here at all the different ages. Even bless you for being here because there's so much to learn at any ages of life. And so the reason we're here on this is that we've been studying about temptation in chapter 8 of our book. And chapter 8 is talking about how to stand firm against temptation. And Joey's going to speak to us on that. But let me pray, and then I'm just going to ask her a few questions first before we get started. Well, I'm going to ask Joey some questions, and she's going to answer them. See if we can hear you, Joey. Talk.
Oh. Ooh. Yeah, I can hear myself.
Isn't that great? That's cool. Okay. Everyone here okay? Okay. Well, in our book that we're doing, everyone's telling their story. So we all take turns telling our story of our spiritual growth. And so, Joey, we want to hear your story about your walk with Christ and when you became a Christian.
Well, it goes back 45 years. And as you know, I'm 94, so you can figure out I was 49 years old before I found Christ. And you know what? I grew up in church. I went to Sunday school. I went to summer camp. And it all went right over my head. I spent most of those years trying to balance out. I knew there was a lot of things I was doing that probably I shouldn't have been. And I thought, if I work hard enough, if I sing in the choir, if I cook in the kitchen, if I help with summer camp, maybe I can balance those scales. I had no idea that I could have a personal relationship with Christ. When I left church every Sunday, I left God somewhere in the building, and I went home and ran my own life. But then my oldest son was led to the Lord, and he came and shared that with Ralph and I. And oh my goodness, he was so passionate. He was so excited that when he left that night, I looked at Ralph and I said, if he's a Christian and I'm a Christian, why am I not excited about it? Why am I not talking about Jesus to anybody? Well, I had a Bible over there on the table, and I knew the stories, and I knew a few scriptures from Sunday school, but I sure didn't know the Lord. And so it was just a few days, and I sat down at my kitchen table, and I prayed all by myself. And I said, oh, Jesus, I've missed it. I know that I have. I know I'm a sinner, and I know that you died for me. Please come in and be the Lord of my life. And my husband prayed that same prayer within 2 or 3 weeks, and our lives were turned upside down. They were never the same again. Everything changed. And so I began to walk, and I couldn't wait to get into Bible study. I heard about Bible study fellowship, and I was invited to a guest day, and I went. And for 4 years, I studied God's Word, and oh, I got a marvelous foundation. And then I heard about creative living in Carmel, and for 42 years, I spent at Creative Living, and was a small group leader for a long time. In fact, the gal who's now taken over for Ann Walls is here tonight because she and I have been in Bible study together for years and years and years. And so, it's made all the difference in the world. And when I left Creative Living, then I found Precepts. And so I've always been in a Bible study. And ladies, I just can't tell you how important that is. You know, Satan is alive and well, and he is going to try to keep you so busy that you don't have time to commit to a Bible study. It takes time, but it's so worth it. It's so important. I can't stress that too much. And so, anyway, here I am.
So, would you say that being in a Bible study is what kept you disciplined?
Absolutely.
Or did you try to do it on your own some?
Well, I found out real quickly that I couldn't do it on my own. That first summer rolled around after, you know, Bible study fellowship, and right away I just began to fall away. One day I'd read the word and pray, and then the next day I'd be busy doing something, and I found out that the only way I could grow in the word was to be in the word and to be in a study where I had to get in the word every day. So even in the summer, almost all the time I would find a summer Bible study. It just kept me always in the Word, and it's just so important. It's just a commitment you need to make. If you've never done that on a regular basis, I just can't encourage you more. It's so important.
Well, obviously, you're going to be speaking on a powerful scripture tonight of the full armor of God. When did that scripture become important to you?
Well, you know, I've tried to think about that, and I'm not sure, but it must have been the year we did Ephesians, because that's where that scripture is, and it just grabbed a hold of me. And it seemed like God was just speaking directly to me about that. And ever after that, every year in my small group, I would teach the armor of God to my ladies. I just I just felt it was so important.
I don't know if any of you remember years ago, I think 15 or 20, at one of the Zionsville Fellowship Women's Retreat, she spoke on this and gave everyone a laminated armor. And I know my daughter Kathy's who here kept it outside of her shower for years just to remember to put this on. How did that armor help you to stay firm against temptation, would you say?
Well, you not only learn, and I'll talk about that, you not only learn about putting it on, but you learn scriptures that go with each piece. And when I really committed to doing that on a regular basis, I began to have the peace of God that passes all understanding. And you know, once you have God's peace, you never want to lose it. You never want to let that go. And so I just felt like it drew me into the Word. It gave me special scriptures. I just felt like if I put that on every day, then I was dressed to meet whatever came along. Yeah. So.
Is there anything else you want to share with us that we might not know about you?
Well, I have 10 grandchildren. I have 3 children, 2 sons and a daughter. And many of you know my daughter, Robin Hartman, because she goes to ZF and was a deacon for, I don't know, 20-some years, she and her husband. I have 10 grandchildren, and I have 14 great-grandchildren, and another one coming in January. So then it'll be 15. Unfortunately, all but one of them live away. So I don't get to see them, but we have FaceTime and all of that, so it helps. It's wonderful. God has richly, richly blessed me. The one thing I'm sad about is I lost my husband, I think 17 years ago, and every marriage, every wedding, and every baby he missed. But I hope he's up there. I hope he knows about them. I like to think that he does.
Tell him about your bookstore.
Oh, I'd forgotten about the bookstore. Well, my husband was a realtor for a long time, and then he began to have severe heart issues, and he had to give that up. And we ended up with a retail bookstore for 10 years, from 1983 to 93, at 116th and Keystone, and that was a Target mall. It was an inside mall at that time, yeah. And we had a big Christian, we were Christians by then, we had a big Christian room and sold a lot of Bibles, and I filled the psychology section, self-help section with Christian books. And my husband, gosh, I can't tell you how many people he shared Christ with those 10 years. He had little teeny crosses. Many of you have those crosses that Ralph gave out. And when he would give them out, he always said, "If you will find out what this truly means, it will change your life." And I remember one time a lady came back and she said, "You probably don't remember me," she said to Ralph. "You probably don't remember me, but you gave me a cross so many years ago, and I did find out what it meant. And it has changed my life." And I said to Ralph, "What a blessing that was from the Lord for you to know that." And so, so those bookstore years were great years. They were busy years. Whew, boy, was I tired. I was 65 when we finally closed those stores down. I thought, oh my goodness, how are we going to make it? But we did.
But you did.
We did.
Thank you, Joy. Well, the topic that we're talking about is based mainly, too, on temptation. And those of you who are studying our book know that chapter 8 is on temptation. And in chapter 7, it talks about family and friendship. And we looked through Colossians 3, which talks about putting off bad behavior and putting on new behavior, as you're a new person in Christ. And so this starts out with putting on the full armor of God. So I'm just quoting one little paragraph from the book. Some days we feel powerless, like a phone that didn't get charged the night before. We're battle-worn and weary, unsure how to access the power we've been given. Thankfully, Paul tells us how to fight, and his first piece of advice is to get dressed. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. So we'll start with this scripture, and then I'm going to turn it over to Joey.
I'm getting old. This is the first time I've had to read scripture in front of people with these on. I will be reading from Ephesians 6, 10 through 18. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's scheme. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints.
Thank you, Kathy. We're in a spiritual battle every day against the forces of darkness and of evil. We just look around us and see the mess this world is in. There's so much unsettledness. There's so much anxiety. There's so much violence. As she read, we're in a spiritual battle against the forces of darkness, of evil, of the authorities and the powers of this dark world. Do you struggle with finding the time and the place to meet with God every day? To find time to read his word, to find time to pray. Satan loves to fill your days with parenting, with shopping, with cleaning, with carpooling, maybe even a part-time job. That's called the tyranny of the urgent. Satan keeps you so busy that unless you're committed, you find the day slipping away, and often you haven't been in the Word. But God has given us a weapon against Satan, and it's in that book of Ephesians that was read to you. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God, so that you can stand strong against the devil. And ladies, I always put on that armor out loud. You know, Satan is not omniscient, God is. Satan cannot read your mind. So if you're just reading that scripture in Ephesians, reading it to yourself, Satan doesn't hear you. So speak it out loud and speak it strong. Speak it up and say, Satan, I'm putting on my armor right now and you're going to have to get out of here because I'm not going to listen to you. So the first piece of armor that he's given us is the belt of truth. And you've got a picture of that Roman soldier, and you see that belt that he put on that holds all of his armor together. And that keeps us upright. That keeps us so God or Satan can't knock us down. And I speak forth truth. When I put on that belt of truth, I tell Satan, I'm a child of God. I am a joint heir with Jesus Christ, because that's what Romans 8 tells me. Jesus is the truth, and I have Jesus in my life. I'm in Christ, and Christ is in God. And that's what John 14 tells us. Greater is the Holy Spirit in me than Satan in the world. And that's 1 John chapter 4. Next is the breastplate of righteousness. Now, if you look at that picture, that breastplate goes all the way from the neck all the way down to the legs. And that covers the heart. Whoops, I've lost my place, girls. Hang on. When I asked Jesus into my heart, he took all my sin and he gave me his righteousness. So if you're a child of God, when God looks at you, he sees you as righteous. My heart includes my mind, my will, and my emotions. The attitudes that I have over every area of my life comes from my heart. We can respond to our circumstances on the basis of scriptural truth. Luke 6 says that out of the overflow of our heart, the mouth speaks. Psalm 139 says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in your way everlasting." My feet are shod in the preparation of the gospel of peace. And everywhere I walk, I carry the peace of God with me. I'm a peacemaker, not a troublemaker. My feet, my shoes, are between me and the world. So I'm in the world, but I'm not of the world. And everywhere I walk, I carry the seeds of the gospel with me. So when God gives me opportunity, I try to spread those seeds to whoever I'm talking to. On my head is the helmet of salvation. And if you see that picture, that helmet covered that whole head, even their chin, only their eyes and their nose and mouth. That helmet guards my mind. And you know, that's where the battle is every day, in your mind, because that's where you make the choices. Whether you're going to stay down that narrow road or whether you're going to weave off to the right or the left. Satan is a liar. He came to steal, to kill, to destroy you. He wants to steal your joy, but he cannot steal your salvation. If you are saved, you are secure in Christ. John 10:10. Oh, Satan tries to fill my mind with doubt, with fear, with temptation. He tries to give you poor self-esteem. He tries to make you doubt that you are truly saved. He tries to dump every evil thought in there to defeat me. But my helmet guards my mind. And if those thoughts begin to come into my mind, like even this morning when I was having my quiet time, and all of a sudden I began to get really nervous about tonight. And I thought, Satan, you get out of here. I am not going to listen to what you're trying to put into my mind. I belong to Christ and you have no right. You need to talk back to Satan when he puts those thoughts. When he gives you a temptation, don't think about the temptation. Recognize where it's coming from and say, hey, Satan, you take that and you get out of here because I'm not listening to you. I belong to Christ and you have no right to do that to me. I hold high the shield of faith. You know what faith is, lady? Faith is simply taking God at his word, believing what God says in his word. And that shield of faith in that picture, that was 6 feet long, 2 feet wide. It was covered in leather. It was dipped in water. And when those Roman soldiers went to battle, those enemy would shoot those arrows and they would just fall harmlessly to the ground. Well, when you're holding up your shield of faith, those darts that Satan is trying to fly at you, they're fear. They want to fill you with fear. They want to make you jealous. They want to give you greed. They want to give you anything to make you unrestful. You know, faith is based on fact. It's not based on our feelings. The Bible says in Hebrews that without faith, it is impossible to please God. The sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. It's our big offensive weapon. Speak it forth, every word of Scripture that you know. Speak it out loud as you grab that sword, as you say to Satan, I'm taking a hold of that sword of the Spirit, and I'm telling you, Satan, that you have no right to me. I'm reciting Matthew 11:28. It's one of my absolute favorite scriptures. Come unto me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am humble and gentle of heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. I memorized Psalm 91 years ago when my husband had his first massive heart attack, and I was a pretty new believer, and I was in the hospital in the waiting room, and my mentor at that time was with me, and she introduced me to Psalm 91. And oh, ladies, what a wonderful psalm to memorize. What a wonderful strength it gives to you. Isaiah 41:10 says, fear not, for I'm with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you by my righteous right arm. And then Romans 8, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other living creature will ever be able to separate me from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. So I can't urge you enough, ladies. I urge you tonight to commit to begin to put on that armor of God. You know, it takes a while to develop a discipline. You can't do it in a week or two. You have to make the decision. You have to decide in your mind, I want to grow in the Lord, and I know that the way to grow in the Lord is to be in His Word. So I want to commit. And I know now that He's given me the armor of God, so that I don't have to give in to my doubts and fears. I don't have to be anxious. Even in this terrible world, I have peace because I have total trust in God. And God has a plan. Oh, it looks like everything's falling apart out there, but it isn't, because God is in control. And once you finally come to grips with the knowledge that the sovereignty of God is real and that He is sovereign over every area of your life, you will find peace. You won't be anxious. And you'll know how to find it when Satan tries to steal it away. So you need to begin to learn Scripture. Now, the end of this passage said to stand firm. We want to stand firm on the rock of Christ. And we want to know that that rock never rocks. If it's rocking, ladies, we're the ones that are causing it. We're the ones that are not sure. But rocketh, but Jesus is sure. And He wants to be your rock. And it says, pray always in the saints, or pray in the spirit for the saints. So pray for your family. Pray for your church. Pray for your country. Pray for this world. Thank God for who He is in your life. Thank Him for His attributes. Thank Him for His mercy, for His grace, for His faithfulness. Thank Him that He is truth, that you can trust Him, that He's a good God, and He loves you more than you can ever imagine. So build your life on that. Commit to trying to memorize. Oh, a lot of women say, oh, I can't memorize. I just can't memorize Scripture. Well, make a decision tonight. Okay, I'm going to try. Pick a Scripture that speaks to your life. Read it over and over and over, and then write it out on a 3x5 card. And if you walk every day, as I used to, carry it with you. And I would learn it line by line by line, day after day after day. And by the end of a week, I pretty much would have that Scripture. Well, then I'd pick another one, and I'd write another card, and I would start there. And I'd carry it with me if I went on an errand or I had to wait in a doctor's office. You know, sometimes those waits can be long. That's a great time to learn Scripture. Anyway, whatever you can find that works. Sometimes you can stick it at the kitchen sink or in the bathroom, somewhere where you will see it every day. But the big thing is you have to commit. But if you will begin to store God's word in your mind, then when those arrows from Satan come against you, the Holy Spirit in you will be able to bring to your remembrance what you stored up there. But if you have not stored it up there, He will not bring it to your mind. And then you will fall helpless before Satan and his darts and the fear and the anxiety, and everything will begin to crash around you. But I'm telling you, if you will commit to memorization, if you will commit to putting on the armor every day, it will change your life. It changed mine. And there are some women here who know that very well, because they've experienced exactly the same thing. And so I just pray that something I've said will resonate with all of you to some degree. I pray that there will be some nugget you'll take home with it from this. And I appreciate so much that you came to hear about the armor of God. And so let's pray. Oh, Father God, thank you for this time with these precious ladies tonight. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your armor of God. Thank you for the opportunity to come and speak again after so many years. Thank you for giving me the strength and the peace to do it and the words. And I just thank you most of all for being here. We pray all of this in your precious name. Amen.
Amen. You're a delight, Joy.
Thank you.
We can tell that you've memorized God's word. I cannot believe the scripture you said to all of us. And I want to say a scripture back to you that reminds me of you.
Oh.
It's Psalm 92, 12 to 15. The righteous flourish like the palm tree and grow like a cedar in Lebanon. They are planted in the house of the Lord. They flourish in the courts of our God. They still bear fruit in old age. They are ever full of sap and green to declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him.
Amen and amen.
Thank you for being that strong oak. And when they're going to pass out to you, she has all her scriptures on here and a laminated full armor of God. And we're not going to be done. If you want, we've got some snacks out there. And as everyone says on Sunday, linger longer if you'd like to and visit with Joey or whoever. And thank you for coming. We appreciate that Joey made this huge effort for us.
Thank you. Thank you, Patty. God is good all the time.